I was brought to a settled point in one thing at Trowell Common, that God was determined I should live by the gospel. And I saw as clear as the sun at noonday that I must have all manner of speeches thrown out against me by those that received not spiritual things from my preaching, and that it was my business to take no notice of it, but go to the Lord with all my needs and necessities. And blessed be my dear Lord, he has ever overruled for my soul's good and profit all the hard speeches that were sometimes thrown out, though many times it was a sore trial to flesh and blood to hear of them. God, however, helped me to come to him for him to search and try me, for God knows my heart that I wished to do nothing but what had his approbation, and I have ever found that the dear Lord has caused all that I have ever had to pass through to work together for my good and the glory of his own name. Oh, what a blessed thing it is when the Lord helps us to come to him with all our troubles. This is a great deal better than going to an arm of flesh. I was never yet left to put trust in an arm of flesh, but it failed me, and for I think there never was such a fool for looking on the right hand and on the left, trying every fleshly refuge till they all failed. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord ever proved my present help in time of trouble near at hand and not afar off. And if ever any poor soul needed present help, I did, burdened and weighted down as I was with a large family and sometimes fearing I should never be able to pay my heavy debts, whilst numbers around me were anxiously waiting and hoping that something would turn up to remove me from Trowbridge, and myself sometimes so shut up in darkness and confusion that I verily believed I never would preach again, and wondered at myself, however, I could have the presumption to attempt it. But blessed be the dear Lord, he overruled this for my good, for I was brought again and again to wrestle hard with cries and tears, that he would make it manifest in my heart that he had called me to the work of the ministry. I have had it made manifest scores of times, but when the devil has robbed and spoiled me and has me hid in the prison house, I can neither look backward nor forward, but all is complete darkness as to any comfort. I have light enough to discern what a wretch I am, what a fool I am, what a beast I am, what a hell-deserving rebel I am, but that affords me no comfort. I want no one to tell me when I am in these places that God is of one mind and none can turn him, nor do I want anyone to tell me that his purposes of grace will ever stand firm to his own, whether people or ministers. But what comfort does such a faith as this afford to my soul when I am fearing I am not one of them? I must have the same spirit bearing witness with my spirit as in days and in months that are past, to produce the same humble confidence that he is my Lord and Master, and that I am his unworthy servant, in order to satisfy my soul. Nothing short of this can bring comfort and peace to my soul in the work of the ministry. And oh, how many times has God given my soul a precious lift from the words in 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29, when I have sunk into dismal doubts and fears that he had never sent me, since I had the testimonies I wrote of in the first part of my experience. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Oh, and God, the Holy Ghost has whispered these precious words in my poor soul, when I have been wrestling with him by the hour to make it known whether it would be possible that such an ignorant worm, such a base worm, such a foolish worm, such a nothing was his servant. How seasonable have these words been when they have been seasoned with salt. Oh, the blessed heavenly anointing unction of God the Holy Ghost, dropping with the word into the soul. What humility it produces, what strong confidence it brings with it, what love, praise, adoration, and zeal for the honor and glory of God it produces in my soul. And sometimes when I have lain under these words just like a little child, I have said, "Do with me, Lord, as it seemeth good in thy sight. Here I am, a poor, foolish thing. Glorify thy wisdom through such a foolish thing. Here I am, a base thing. Glorify the riches of thy mercy and grace through me and by me. Here I am, the poorest and weakest thing in the whole world. Glorify thy mighty power in me. Here I am, a poor nothing and less than nothing. Glorify thy mighty self in bringing out of nothing the things that are not, to confound the things that are, that no flesh may glory before thee, but that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And how sweetly has the dear Comforter whispered into my soul, "Have ye never read that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings God hath ordained praise?" And how preciously have these words followed upon the back of the others. And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their hearts, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." When God the Holy Ghost brings such blessed testimonies as these to my soul, in answer to prayer, I can then stand as bold as a lion. I fear no frowns nor court any man's smiles. I can then bless and thank my God in my very heart that he has counted me worthy to suffer persecution for his name's sake, and can say with humility and blessed confidence, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I do not wonder at so many ministers pouring contempt upon a feeling religion. And for how is it possible for those that never were plunged into these depths of feeling, the misery of their own foolishness, their own baseness, their own nothingness, and believing it was hard presumption for such wretches to open their mouths in the name of a holy God, and who never knew what it was to have those pangs, sighs, and groans that cannot be uttered? How, I say, is it possible for these to tell anything about feeling either the one side or the other when they are utter strangers to it? They cannot enter into it till it enters into them. But my poor soul has proved both sides, so that I am obliged with the ability God gives to come before the people again and again with what I have handled, tasted, and felt, so that necessity is laid upon me to vindicate a feeling religion. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, that ever he has taught thee the sweetness of proving his truth to drop as the rain, and his speech to distill as the dew. The soul that knows this is a living witness, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, and that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And here I have been hobbling on at Trowbridge better than 22 years, many times in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and I am confident that my speech and my preaching has not been with enticing words of man's wisdom, but bless God, it has been the power of God to salvation to many precious souls.